Good afternoon. Welcome to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Boy, I tell you, nothing gives you a good feel than when you see a lot of green on the screen to start out a week of trade. We're going to dive into what's going on in this market. What's the push behind all this green? And I'm sure many are wondering, is that negative rate behind it? Because, you know, that Monday pattern seems to be the one we've seen on and off the past couple of weeks. We're going to find out all that's happening today with Darren Fry. Darren is with Water Street Advisors. And I think to start out, let's just give me your overall feel and maybe the fuel that is behind what we see in this market today, because it opened and it just continued to stay solid green.
Yeah, it sure did. You know, it started last week when we had the attack that Israel made on parts of Syria, part of Iran, and of course all the markets ran up Thursday night into Friday. And then most of those markets like gold and crude oil, we saw them reverse hard off those overnight highs. Grains reversed hard as well, but then later in the trade on Friday, they came back. They had decent closes with some good daily reversals across the board in corn, soybeans, and wheat. And then we saw follow through today to the upside. I think this was just fun short covering. I think maybe a little bit of concern around a little bit more rain in our forecast, maybe delaying spring planting a little bit in the central eastern part of the Corn Belt, maybe a little drier forecast in parts of Safrina. And of course, the wheat is being affected by the dryness in southern Russia, eastern Ukraine. There's concern on Russia's crop. Anything below 88 million metric tons would be pretty friendly to the world balance sheets. And obviously, our price discovery of wheat is usually Black Sea. They control that, and that would put all wheat prices higher. And so I think between those different fundamental inputs and the funds being super short, adding their positions late last week, we saw them be a little uncomfortable, and it featured short covering once again today.
So what about this wheat market? I mean, I know they're not the only one out there, but the fact that they, Kansas City, really got off to a good start, can we keep it going for them? And what do you see as some other influences that could be some factors weighing in, not only just for Kansas City, but the other two as well?
Well, you know, we could keep the wheat going as well as the corn and soybeans higher. But I think what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to clear certain areas. And that first area to close above, like in Kansas City, if you're looking at the May contract, for example, I know that's old crop. But this swing high that took place back on the 12th of March is a 605 1/4. And then another one back on the 7th of February at 622 1/2. We got to get above those on a closing basis. We pierced the first one today, but then closed below it. Same thing on Chicago. We need to get over certain highs here, and those certain highs in Chicago are going to be on those same dates. But you're going to be looking up into this really 575 area. Again, we pierced that, but closed below it. And then really we got to clear 603 on a closing basis in the May Chicago. And I think it's about, you know, how big is that Russian crop going to be? They need to get rain. They need immediate turnaround. We need to see more rain in our western and southern plains. We know they've been on the dry side, and that's what's bolstered certainly the price action here in the Kansas City class. As far as Chicago, I think we just have a pretty tight, you know, ending stocks. I think we're going to have a good soft red winter wheat crop above trend, but we have really pulled down inventories on that class of wheat, and I think that's what has that wheat moving higher. So that's kind of how I see the wheat classes going.
But then how much of the weather is going to factor in for this wheat? As they talked about that chance of more rains moving through Oklahoma, Texas, moving up into Kansas, even though parts of Kansas and Nebraska have horrific winds today.
Yeah, I mean, if we get more moisture in some of those areas that have been a concern with the forecast, I mean, that could send wheat back down. You know, until we clear some of these hurdles that I just went over, you have to say, hey, Friday and today were good days. I mean, anytime you can have double-digit gains in wheat or soybeans or high single-digit gains in corn, that's good. But we still have not cleared the certain critical resistance areas we need to say, yeah, you can lock in a low, up, up, and away we go.
So, Darren, how much of this are we chasing the headlines in these markets for grains?
You know, I don't know if grains are chasing the headlines quite as much anymore. Before, I would say every headline's been sold. And we're still seeing that to some degree in things like crude oil, for example. But if you look at what happened on Friday when the information came out with Israel and what was happening with their bombing attacks on Syria and Iran, and everything then was faded, right? So you sold crude. Crude backed off $4 a barrel. Gold backed off $50, $60, $70 an ounce. And so we saw everything come back. But the grains held on. They started moving higher. And I think that's saying they're starting to divorce themselves from some of those headlines and starting to trade their own fundamentals, such as a little later planting window here in the U.S. Argentina's got that stunt disease in their corn affecting the later planted. We know Safrina has had okay rains up north, Goiás, Mato Grosso. But Paraná, Mato Grosso do Sul, a lot of problems there, and now the monsoon is shutting off. So I think fundamentally we're starting to break away from some of those headline markets.
And you talk about Argentina, and I know that I saw some numbers that were shared this morning. I mean, any sort of loss for those guys can be detrimental, but could possibly, Tehran, be a benefit for us?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think whatever we end up with down there, both in soybeans and corn, will depend on how much export business we see in our September to January timeframe for soybeans, but also our window here up until June, July when Safrina comes available, and then, of course, in our fall again. It will depend on how big those crops are. And you have Argentina and Brazil that combined together could swing 10, 15 million metric tons to the downside. And so that's a big deal, giving us export opportunities in our U.S. corn market. So that's a big deal for both soybeans and corn when you think about it.
All right, well, stick around, folks. More is coming up as we get ready here for the second half of today's Channel Final Bell. We'll continue to look at some livestock factors and then talk about what was the bounce that we saw in this livestock. Stick around. More is coming up. Channel Final Bell on the world.
Channel and Fontenelle have joined forces to bring you a product lineup that's second to none. Here's Channel Seed Pro Steve Bristol from Bristol Ag at Ravenna.
You know, we have the best and most complete seed portfolio in the corn and soybean industry, and it just got better. No seed company has a hybrid built specifically for each field's individual demands other than Channel.
For more, talk to your local seed professional or go to channel.com. Always read and follow label directions, IRM, green marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back to the Channel Final Bell on the Rural Radio Network. I'm Susan Littlefield as we continue our conversation with Darren Fry with Water Street Advisors and continue talking about this grain perspective. Let's look at the soybeans. Are we seeing a lot more technical in nature trade on these guys right now?
Well, you know, I think we are. You know, there's still this consternation around how big the Brazilian crop is, and that's still got a lot of disparity between CONAB and between USDA. Even all the privates are arguing about, is it 145, is it 160, where is it? But we had an awful deep correction that ended last Friday on the lows down there at about 1145, and it really got pretty deep from the low that we saw back at the end of February at 1140 versus July beans. So within a nickel of making a new low. And now we've rallied pretty good, recovering off of Friday's lows and then again today. And so again, the funds on Friday on the commitment of traders report, they were just a few thousand contracts from bringing a record short again. And when you think the time of year is the middle to the end of April here, with all the risk coming up with the planting window and then what the early crop and what stands will be established, I mean, you got to look at that and say, hey, the funds really have to have a lot of courage and moxie to keep that big of a short position. So I think technically we saw this line cross that line. Maybe the funds were a little uncomfortable given what's going on, and they've covered some, and we've seen beans rally nicely off the lows from last Friday.
Do we see any surprises in this afternoon's crop progress report, or will you just be pretty decent kind of at that steady planting pace we're used to?
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking for the national average to be around 10% on corn, probably 7% on soybeans. I know we've made a lot of progress in Illinois here. Probably 15 to 20% of the beans are in the ground in the state of Illinois would be my guess. I know further east they've had a lot of rain and they haven't gotten as much done. But, boy, some of our guys, especially south of Peoria here, really put a lot of soybeans in the ground. Now they're starting to plant corn as well at a pretty good pace. So we're going to be having a window here up until like Wednesday, Thursday, and then we're going to turn to more rain showers and end up into the weekend being pretty stormy. So guys are just trying to get as much done as possible here in these good days.
All right, switch gears. Let's talk about this cattle market. And obviously, the cattle on feed report had a lot of influence in what we saw today.
Yeah, it did. I mean, total on feed, obviously 1% less than the estimation. Placements were down about 5%. Markings were a little bit poor, a little bit low, 2% under the trade guess. And that's just because we had a couple less days to sell cattle. But, you know, overall, it was friendly, and the market probably was oversold given where the cash is. The cash, you know, going home last week was not that bad. And you have a pretty big discount, you know, when you look out at the Junes, but even the Aprils were discount going home last week. And so with that bullish cattle on feed report, you saw the market want to rebound here today, and rebound it did. So very good action, and I would look for more of that as we get into the mid part of the week.
So, Darren, do you think HPAI has kind of run its course in the market trade at this point?
I do. I'm not hearing a lot about it, and just kind of dwindled away. And I think a lot of people realize that it maybe wasn't as big a news as it turned out, or it wasn't as big a news when it happened. It's turned out to be less impactful. But it did get the funds to liquidate. It allowed the packers to slow down shackle speed, try to break the cash, try to make weights heavier, and all that seemed to happen. But I think now as we enter this strong demand seasonally, the packers will have to get more aggressive. They're going to have less cattle to come after, and I do think that we will see a bigger rally here in both the fats and the feeders as we enter the end of April into the beginning of May.
So what's your takeaway on this hog complex?
I like hogs for hire. You know, I think fundamentally they're in a little different place than the cattle. We keep talking about the larger numbers, but we're not killing as many as what those quarterly hog and pig reports have said. Export demand is good on the pork side, not so good on the beef side. But we do have these margins starting to come back in both for the packers. And if you take a look at the seasonal into June for hog, I still think we have upside here. We have incomplete wave patterns, and technically I'm looking up in both markets at least for the next couple weeks here.
All right. As you look, and obviously we're on a Monday trade that's wrapped up. What are you going to watch out for this week?
I think I want to see follow through on the meats, obviously, especially cattle after Friday's report. And, of course, I'm looking to see what the funds do as we enter the middle of the week. If they keep short covering, we're going to get both the corn and the soybeans and additionally the wheat above these critical resistance areas. If we stop here and the funds come in and start selling again, there's no question about it, especially if we see improved weather ahead. For any of these areas that are of a concern, whether you talk overseas or whether you talk here, then we're going to go right back down to the lows and probably make new lows into June.
All right. What's the best way for folks to reach you, Darren?
Well, they can always look me up on Twitter. I'm at Frye, F-R-Y-E underscore W-S-S, or call us here at our office in Peoria at 866-249-2528.
All right, that has been today's Channel Final Bell, being brought to you by Channel Seed and your local Channel Seed professional on the Rural Radio Network.